Dalton's clearing out defenders faster than a teenager clears his search history on his web browser. Holy smokes.
All I can do right now is put on a brave face and go out there and be their leader.
It's over. We are screwed.
Well, Dak, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Nothing Catchy Podcast. I am your host, Michael Dewey, a.k.a. Read 'em Weep, also known as Last Place in the league. I am not doing so well this year. This episode, I actually have a new league member joining me. It is Elijah, a.k.a. Gritty Gritty Bang Bang, or as some people know it as, oh crap, I have to play him in the league. Welcome, Elijah.
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
Hey, so I figure just we'll go over real quick. I think everybody knows the scoreboards here and what happened, but I mean, it's worth giving the kudos to the people who are doing great in this league. And really, it can't go much further than your team. I mean, you had 2 weeks in a row where you had, this week was 183. Last week you had, 160. So back-to-back weeks of the number one scoring team. My question for you is, how do you do it? How do you do it, Elijah?
Well, first off, I mean, let's be real. I don't know how Lamar felt to, like, round 10. Like, I remember when we were doing the initial podcast and we were looking at, as we were just kind of recording the draft order, like, we were deep into that draft. And I was like, oh, crap, I don't have a quarterback yet. And I had probably, like, three wide receivers on my bench. And I was like, Lamar's sitting here? What? He went off, obviously, this week. 42 points. Just insane.
Yeah.
An insane week. And then, Diggs is a guy that I've always tried to go for, but I think it's really the wide receivers, man. I did not focus on running backs this draft. I just went wide receiver heavy, and I ended up with Diggs, Jefferson, and then Amon-Ra St. Brown with the Lions has just been having a career year. And so I knew that when the early games got over and I had like 95 points or almost 100 points with those three players being the only people that had played so far, I knew this week was going to be a pretty good week.
Yeah, exactly. So what's crazy is as I was going through the first half of the games this weekend, I was looking at how terrible my score was. And I realized, I was like, wait, how many times have I gotten a touchdown this entire season? Every active player from week one to week two for my whole roster, I have one singular touchdown. One.
That's crazy.
And
you're going to have a problem when your defense is showing up as one of your top three players.
Right. Yeah, my defense and my kicker are doing great.
Yeah.
Outside of that, it has been pretty, pretty terrible for me. But yeah, to give other people props, besides Gritty Gritty Bang Bang having obviously the best team ever and the best scoring everywhere, Hertz Donuts did pretty good 2 weeks in a row. Yep. 163 as well. He had Tyreek Hill, Jalen Hurts. I mean, he's been talking crap ever since the beginning when he drafted Jalen Hurts, saying, hey, I'm going to win the league, because everybody says so. And I might have to be actually agreeing with that now, because that's a good pick.
I mean, it's strong. I mean, I think I look at it too. He got Tyreek late for Tyreek. I think it was like round three or four that he picked up Tyreek. Like, we weren't touching Tyreek because we were like, it's Tua.
Yeah.
That's going to him. And then Tua didn't help anybody in our league. I don't even think I think he's still available.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
And so here he had a career week as well, throwing like, what was it, like six touchdowns yesterday or something like that?
Yep.
Or on Sunday. So it's like that didn't help anybody. But, him picking up Tyreek late as a kind of a value pick, he's got a really solid team. I think that's going to be the first real challenge that I feel like my roster is going to have is when I have to go up against Hurts Donuts.
Yeah, I got to play him next week too. So I'm pulling out all my superstitious stops against him this weekend. Which is about the power rankings, which I'll get into in a little bit, but yeah. So Hertz Donut, he won his matchup. You won your matchup. Vladdy Daddy and Chillin' with Mahomes won. And the truth is, not to put shade on either one of those guys, but they had pretty average weeks. Really nothing to call home about. But they definitely beat their teams very handily. and I had the lowest score of everybody by 20 points. So I 100% deserve that loss and everything bad about it. The Alvin Kamara news is what screwed me over. I was literally helping my mother-in-law with a project at 10 o'clock. She was only available at 10. And I was like, all right. So I got over there around 9:30. We were working on it. And all up until, like, just beforehand, I had seen things that he all of a sudden had an injury, but they weren't sure if he was going to be out. So I was trying to, like, pay attention to it, but I'm trying to help my mother-in-law. And then the game started. I did not realize it was the early morning game, and he was in and he was out. And I was like, ah, crap. Well, I'm the loser of the week for sure, who did not move his guy out. So, yeah.
Well, and then you got stung by about as bad of injury news as you could get. Your quarterback went out with a season-ending injury.
Yeah.
So that obviously isn't great. And so when you get only 2 points off of your quarterback, you're not going to have a good day. I mean,
nope.
66 points in a PPR league is crazy low.
Yep.
For a week.
Yeah.
And then speaking to your point on the other, you know, I'm both chilling with my homies and Vladdy Daddy. I mean, you're right. Like, just barely breaking 100 in a normal PPR week, that's not going to necessarily like win you a game.
Nope.
You know, to that point. And I looked at the Vladdy Daddy Team Fitzgerald one, which was obviously a closer competition. And that was just, you know, that goes to me. I was looking at that one in particular. That was just bad rostering.
Yeah.
He left a lot of points on his bench. Yep. He had, I think, more points on his bench than he did in his active roster.
Vladdy Daddy or Fitz?
Fitz.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
So he that was a winnable matchup for him. But I mean, you know, George Kittle, I think he was injured. He didn't end up scoring anything. I was looking through that. I mean, who knew that Jonathan Taylor was going to basically get stuffed and that Jacksonville was going to blank Indy?
Yep.
That kills you when that's your running back one. I would say that he took a completely opposite approach that I took, like Team Fitzgerald. Like, he took a completely different approach than I took on my drafting. I went wide receiver heavy. You look at his, it is running back centric all the way.
Yep.
Taylor, Mixon. And then on his bench, I mean, he's got Miles Sanders and Breece Hall, both of which outscored his number one and two running backs.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I can't blame him though, because I wouldn't have benched Jonathan Taylor in any way.
No way. Me either. I mean, I didn't think that would be, I did not think that Jacksonville was going to win versus Indy necessarily, or I thought it would be at least a little bit more competitive, which would have meant Taylor would have gotten his touches.
Yeah.
Although I did just read a crazy stat. Apparently it's been 8 straight that Jacksonville has beat Indianapolis.
Seriously.
When they play in Jacksonville. 8 straight.
Wow. That's pretty crazy.
They have their number. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. What is that? 4 years running then?
It's just in Jacksonville. I don't think they have the same success when they play in Indy. So it's actually the last 8 years home games.
Oh my goodness.
Is how I understood the stats. Yeah.
Wow.
So pretty wild stat, right?
Yeah, no, that is crazy. And he also left George Kittle in as well. I mean, that's kind of on him.
Yeah, exactly.
But we had an interesting week. I was expecting some bounce back teams. It's this week, week three is going to be really telling to see, I think, who you can really trust. Because, you know, you had the ones who were good week one, then maybe week two. And then if they can keep it week three, then you know you can start to trust and really, like, lock them in, even though they may not be a normal named person. So we'll see how this week goes. I can honestly tell you I'm going to be going through and doing a lot of moving. My roster is changing significantly this week. So with that, let's actually jump into injuries. So for anybody who maybe isn't paying attention to your team that closely, or you don't know much about what's happening with your injuries and stuff, the main categories, wide receiver, quarterback, and tight end. In the wide receiver area, Mike Evans was suspended for one game for that fight, which was crazy if you didn't see it.
It was pretty crazy. That was quite the fight. But what's funny about that is, like, you know, he got the fight going, obviously, but like the actual initial interaction, like, I don't really feel like it was anything worse than what you might see on a week to week basis.
Yeah, no, exactly. And honestly, I think it could have been avoided if Tom Brady had just walked to the sideline. You know, if he just had not listened to Lattimore and just moved on with his life, this would not be a thing. So I can't blame Evans completely. He's always been one to go out and fight for his QB. I mean, there was a similar situation with Jameis Winston when Jameson was his quarterback and stuff. So,
I say this is the second time I think he's been suspended for fighting or for like getting into it. So yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And then Jerry Jeudy with the Denver Broncos, he had a shoulder injury. He left the game, halfway through, which was great for me. Cause I mean, Cortland Sutton, had all the targets then and actually had a decent week. His injury doesn't seem to be super serious, though, so he'll probably be back in either by next week or 1 or 2 weeks. I haven't seen any reports that it's super serious of an injury. So those are the two main wide receiver injuries that are out there this weekend. Trey Lance for QB, that was my QB. He has a season-ending both ankle injury, had to have surgery, so he's out and done. And this, I was going to say this earlier, but the truth is, he was on the last leg anyway. That's a poor pun, I guess, for his situation. But he was going to be out. If he didn't produce a good week in this week, I was going to drop him anyway. I got him because a lot of people were thinking he was a good upside. He was kind of one of those sleeper kind of picks. And I kept missing on a QB during the draft. And so I was like, well, I'll just take this guy, see if it's going to work out. And in an 8-team league, man, it's not worth trying to find these sleepers. Like, get the solid, are going to be good producers kind of people. If we had a, 10 team or 12 team league, I think then that would be a different situation. But, he's gone. He's out. Dak is still out, obviously. So, I'll have to be looking for a new QB. Tight end, George Kittle, Fitzgerald, he's still injured. So you may want to put him on your bench or something for a little while. He's considered day-to-day. He almost played this last week, so maybe now that Jimmy G is in, he'll want to play with him or something. Maybe he was just doing it all because he didn't want to play with Trey Lance. I don't know. But he's still suffering with a hamstring issue. And then this one also hurt for me, too. Schultz, I can't remember his first name, but with the Dallas Cowboys, he went out with a knee injury. And it's looking like it's a few week type of a situation. It's not an ACL or anything, but I think you said a patella. I think that's in your knee.
That's like your kneecap, I think.
Yeah.
If I remember right.
So it's like a patella injury that he's dealing with. So he'll be out for a little while. So I am in search of a QB, a tight end, some producing wide receivers. I'm going to be really going to town on the waiver wire. Is there any injuries that I missed that you think we should talk about?
No, I don't think so. I think you've pretty much covered them. I mean, I don't think there's anything else that's out there. I think there's some that are out there that are like, the perennial, like, questionable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know for me personally, like, James Conner went out during the, Arizona game. For at least a few series. I don't know if he actually went back in now that I'm thinking about it. Cause I never saw his, touches go up. But you know how that goes. It's early in the year. Most of these guys didn't play a long preseason. And so they're just getting banged up a little bit. But I don't think it's anything that's like, a long-term go change your roster for it or even bench them, for example. Like,
yeah.
I think there's some of those guys that you just kind of have to get used to. When you play fantasy, you know how it goes. There's some guys that are just like, they're on the questionable list every single week, and then they go and they put up double digits, and you're like, all right, whatever, I'll just keep playing them.
Yeah, exactly. We'll just shift over to free agents real quick, because speaking of Connor, I think there's really only one potential running back worth grabbing right now, and that's actually Darrell Williams with Arizona, because he actually had 13.2 points this last week, and I think that was primarily because Connor went out. And so if there is any extensive injury for Connor, I do think Darrell Williams might be worth just stashing for a little while if you're in a really big pinch, kind of a thing. I don't think anybody in this league is yet, so he probably won't get claimed. But yeah, he's the only one. I mean, looking at the rest of the people, they're all backup. Nobody was above 10 points except for Jeff Wilson with San Francisco. But
That's the same Darrell Williams that was on the Chiefs. Is that
same one
where he landed?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I mean, he's good. He's good, but
He can run. He can run north and south. I mean, you know, I always kind of tell people too. Like, I think the Vikings are still. Obviously, I'm a Vikings fan. The Vikings are still figuring things out. But like, depending on like how deep the league goes, like I usually will pick up like Alexander Mattison sometime mid season, right? Because he's almost always available. But Cook always inevitably gets injured at some point in time during the season, misses 3 or 4 games. Basically each of the last 3 seasons, I think he's missed like 4 games, kind of how Zeke is, right? So like, that's why, like, for me, I picked up Tony Pollard late draft pick, just because, you know, Zeke eventually gets worn down and will spend some time on the bench, and Tony Pollard gets a lot of third down looks for receiving.
Yeah. And I mean, that's why I have, I grabbed Isaiah Pacheco with the Chiefs, thinking that he might be a good one, but, yeah, I'm going to be dropping him this week because I need to start making some moves. And I think with it only an 8-team league, it's not worth keeping him as the high upside right now, because unless something genuinely happens to CEH, it's not gonna matter. So, and even then,
he's been playing some good ball this year. So I agree with you. I don't think he's going to get a lot of game time.
Yep.
Unless that falls off.
Yeah. So. Here's a question for you. Do you want to go to QB or do you want to go wide receiver? Which one do you want to go with first? Because there's some genuine questions in both of those areas. So which one do you want?
We can talk about QBs. Let's talk about QBs. I think obviously I mentioned Tua, like no one had him on. No one's currently rostering Tua.
Almost 40 points, 38.86. His ceiling?
Yeah, he was second to Lamar, right? Because I had Lamar at 42.
Yep.
I think he was only second to Lamar. Obviously, those guys were playing each other this week. An unlikely comeback, complete choke from Baltimore to give up that kind of a lead, even late into the game. I think they started the fourth quarter, and I think they were up 21 points and ended up losing. So. But you know, Waddle and Tyreek Hill, I mean, I think those two guys combined for like what, 300 and something yards, 320 yards. And so there's not an, is Waddle or Tyreek going to get the targets? They're both getting the targets right now.
And, I was actually hoping that when they traded Tyreek to Miami, that they were going to send Waddle back as in less draft picks. I would have been ecstatic if it was like a 1-for-1 kind of a trade. But yeah, those two are genuinely good wide receivers. And so I don't know, I'm in a weird spot because as we know, Trey Lance went down. So I'm in the market to buy a new QB. So I'm buying a new QB this week. So the question is do I go with Tua, who has two amazing wide receivers, who plays Buffalo next week, which is a legit defense, or do I pick up Carson Wentz, who I haven't always had faith in, but has averaged 27 points the last 2 weeks, and so is very consistent, and is now going to play Philly, who has a fairly decent defense as well.
Yeah.
Or do I keep playing the shuffle game and jump down to like a? Because I mean, Joe Flacco had 26 points this last week. What?
I think the boring pick in the list of available QBs, but like who is probably a safe pick, which is dropping Lance for the guy that's going to come in that just got his contract renegotiated with Jimmy G, right? I think that's the safe pick, but he's not going to have high upside. We know who Jimmy G is. Picking up and playing Jimmy G is like playing Kirk Cousins, right? Aside from last night, right? They'll have their one-off games that are really awful, like Cousins had last night. But most of the time, they'll score, you know, low 20s, you know, high teens. Nothing flashy, but it'll at least give you some points. But you have to have a really strong roster the rest of the way, I think. I think looking at the rest, I think it is just a matchup game, right? Who has the best matchup next week? And do you play the game of pick the QB that's playing against the worst defense and trying to just pick up that opportunity would be...
How does Detroit play Minnesota normally? You know that division really well. So, like, is that usually a good game, or is that Minnesota usually has their number?
Usually, Minnesota has the Lions' number, especially at home. I wouldn't play Jared Goff after the Vikings coming off a big loss. If you look at, like, I think if you look at it from this, I mean, there's potential for it to be a shootout if the defense doesn't play well. But if you look at how the defense played week one versus Green Bay, that's how you're going to get, the defense is going to look a lot more like week one defense than what they looked like. And like second half defense versus the Eagles, right? If you actually, Jalen Hurts had a great first half. But all of his stats came in the first half, right? The Vikings shut him down in the second half. They had plenty of times to get back into that game, and Kirk Cousins just choked. He has choked at noon on Sundays. He doesn't. That's the reality. If you break out his stats separately, there's kind of like a running, you know, the running joke in the Vikings community is like, if he can just play at noon on Sundays, like, we probably could win the Super Bowl. And if the Super Bowl could be at noon on Sunday, that'd be great too.
Because he's a pastor's kid, right? So he's used to being in church during that time. So he's just,
right.
He's used to praying or something.
Well, that's the kind of the thing. It's like, he's a guy that's usually, like, he literally even says this, like, he's usually in bed by like 8:30 or 9 o'clock at night. And so Monday night football, it's like, it's my bedtime, man. I shouldn't be up here playing football. It's what we call sleepy Kirk. Point though being is, you know, that's going to be, I think, a tough environment for Goff. You know, you're talking about US Bank Stadium, hard place to play, super loud. So it's like, if you've got anybody on your O-line that's not used to the silent count cadence, like, you're going to have a really hard time. I went to the Green Bay game, regular decibel, you know, regularly hitting 120s plus on the decibel, you know, wow. The decimeter. So it's a tough, hostile environment to play, especially if you're a division opponent. So I wouldn't say it's a great game for Goff, you know, but I don't know. You don't know because Ed Donatell's defense is brand new still for the Vikings, so it's kind of hard to tell. Like, but Goff isn't, you know, Jalen Hurts. And, you know, Hurts had a great game yesterday, but, you know, Goff isn't going to have that kind of game.
Yeah. Yeah,
I so don't I wouldn't know. Go. Goff is one of those guys too. I think Jimmy G and Goff are both those guys who are like, they're not going to throw a bunch of interceptions. They're relatively safe picks. You know, Joe Flacco. I mean, we know what Joe Flacco is like. He's going to be hit or miss. I think Tua probably has the most upside, but he'll frustrate you a lot too.
So there's a stat that I heard on a podcast. Let's see if I can find it on here. So currently the Jets have the most passing attempts of all NFL teams, and they are currently at 113 passing attempts for the year over 2 weeks.
Interesting.
And so that's why part of me is like, you know, is it worth, you know, they're passing it like crazy. So that's why I'm like, I need upside. That's my thing. As I need to go against
Cincy,
upside.
Cincy has not been playing well.
That's
we know
my
that.
Thing. Yeah.
They're playing at home, so they're at the Meadowlands. So they're not playing in Cincy. Cincy's been playing like crap. The thing about it is, like, it doesn't matter, right? Like, it doesn't really matter what the outcome of the game is. I definitely don't think Cincy goes 0-3 to start the season. That said, that might be a good thing, right? That might mean that Flacco is going to be in situations where he's going to have to continue to pass to keep the game competitive. Joe Flacco has weird games. I mean, he has times where he does go off, so he has that potential. I think, you know, the reality is, you know this, you're picking him up off of waivers. You're not going to pick up a stud at this point in time, right? You're going to pick up somebody who's, like I say, going to score you maybe 20 points. Maybe on a random, really good matchup, 30 points, right?
Yeah.
Is probably the situation.
Yeah. No, I'm kind of honestly going between Joe Flacco, Carson Wentz, and Tua. I'm trying to pick up one of those three. We'll see. I'll probably lay in bed after the podcast and try to figure this
make
out.
A decision. Yeah. Better make a claim. It's getting late.
Yeah, it is getting late.
I don't think somebody might go for Tua. I think the rest of these guys are safe.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So with that, flipping over to the wide receiver, this is what's interesting to me. You know, we were talking about the running back, and you know, you drafted, you said, a heavily wide receiver and everything, and you have less running backs. The reason why I went heavy running back is for this exact reason. We talked about any running backs right now that are even worth picking up, and there's really not. There's pretty much nobody. However, wide receivers right now, last week alone, wide receivers that put up above 15 points, which is a pretty good week. Like, that's at least startable.
That's solid, for sure.
For most things. There was six of them. Six on the that are on the waiver wire right now that put up 15 or more. And then those that put up 10, I'll say 11 or more, were at 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13. 13 wide receivers. So, like, it seems like there's some constant serviceability that if you can, you can usually hit on a wide receiver as well. The top person that's out there that's interesting for wide receiver is Garrett Wilson with the Jets. Again, if they're passing a bunch, I think, is Garrett a rookie? I think he might be a rookie this year. I don't recognize the name, at least. So, but I'm not a Jets fan. So no, I think you're right.
Let's see. Yeah, I think you're correct.
And the thing is week one, he got seven points. He was still targeted 8 times, though. The crazy thing is this next week, he was targeted 14 times, which is really high. And what gave him the big boost was he had 2 touchdowns. But he might be a good PPR target to grab if somebody is like needing a wide receiver or needing somebody to kind of pick up or whatnot. But again, it's one of those situations. I always try to find as many players on like great offenses as opposed to great opportunities. The great offenses, yeah, I feel like, will always have more upside than the opportunity. And Garrett has tons of opportunity, but I just don't think the Jets are going to be that great. Maybe I'm wrong.
Right. No, I generally speaking, too, I agree with you. I've got 2 Jets, actually. Oddly enough, I don't know how, but I've got 2 Jets on my bench. I've got Elijah Moore, who is one of the other wideouts, who, as I understand, I think he's in his second year. He had a good year last year, but really hasn't done much. And I say good year, I mean good for the Jets, good year, right?
He
in his first season, though, in the league. I mean, this isn't terrible, right? He was 540 yards, 77 targets, and he played, he started 11 games with a 12.5 average for his receptions and 5 touchdowns, which isn't terrible, right? Like, that's not bad. That's not bad stats. So I picked up Elijah Moore thinking he might be the option, like, wide receiver 1 for the Jets. I think that you're right. I think that, just based on what we're seeing, it's looking like Garrett Wilson maybe is looking a little bit more like Joe Flacco's guy. So,
yeah, he may be something you want to toss in a claim for, maybe swap out Elijah for him, to build bolster your team. Not that you need the help, but
no. And as I say, I'm like it, and I like that's exactly how I'm sitting. I mean, I look at it, and it's definitely a situation where I'm not super concerned about it right now, especially given the fact that I've got 1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah, I've got 4 wideouts on my bench, and I have. Consistently, I'm keeping a wide receiver playing flex. So, again, I'm very, very heavy on the wide receiver front. I've got some flyers. I think Elijah Moore was a flyer. Sky Moore was a flyer. The Moores were flyers. Sky Moore from the Chiefs was kind of my other flyer for wide receiver who really hasn't gotten any touches yet. That is what it is. That's what you pick up some of those deep rounders for the potential.
Yeah, so some other people that I'm curious about what your thoughts are. I'll list off 4 names and see which ones you are interested in, if at all. So Nelson Aguilar, he had a 20-week point. He was New England. Noah Brown with Dallas. And then Jahan Dotson with the Commanders. And then Corey Davis with the Jets. Those are the next 4 who did well last week that are on the bench. Do any of them seem like somebody you might want to put a waiver claim in for? Or
so I think Aguilar's an interesting one. This year he was with Philly, right? Before he had a pretty solid he had a pretty solid run with them. Like, I think he has the potential to do well if he's positioned as just getting the opportunity of snaps. I think it's kind of looking, probably trying to see if you can find finding some stats on percent of snaps played, like offensive snaps played, right? Mm-hmm. It's probably the hardest part when you're trying to pick up some of the deep rounders. I think that was one. The other one I think that you mentioned was Dotson on the Commanders. I think he's one that you know, I've watched some of their games. I think he's been on their team a couple of years, if I remember right. He's got some good moves. I think he's got some ability to get good separation. Again, it's just that inconsistency. I think sometimes the Carson Wentz to find that is probably part of the challenge that you're going to have within that.
Jaheim Dotson, interesting stats with him. He's the most consistent of the four I mentioned, having an average of 16 points and then 15 points. But what's weird or a negative to him is both weeks he's only had 5 targets. That's it. And with that, he's produced a total of 3 touchdowns. So 10 targets, and of those 10, 3 of them are touchdowns. So he's a high touchdown-dependent player. Yep. So if he doesn't score you a touchdown, he's probably not going to get you much of anything. So, I mean, he might be a good one to stack if you ever wanted to stack a Carson Wentz with him. But I have Curtis Samuel, who has way more targets. So I think Curtis Samuel is the one in that offense right now. The other one was Noah Brown that I was talking about with Dallas.
So Noah Brown, I think the challenge there is, you know, Cooper Rush obviously showed this week that he can get a win versus a team that's supposed to be a contender. I mean, they were the AFC defending champs. And, you know, obviously, I think I mentioned it in the chat, Vikings lost to him a year ago as well. But, you know, he's had 2 starts and he's had 2 wins. I mean, he's 2-0. He's got a better win percentage than old Kirk Cousins, as we talked about. So he's not a bad, he's a serviceable backup. But I don't know if I'm starting any wide receiver right now for that place for the Dallas Cowboys. I've got CeeDee Lamb in another one of my leagues that I play in, and I benched him. I don't trust the consistency, you know, of Cooper Rush to find, you know, to find the guys that he needs to find. That's just, you know, kind of the reality of the situation. And my benching CeeDee Lamb ended up being overall a good decision. I benched him for Mike Williams. So, you know, obviously I had another good wide out, took advantage of a injury situation in LA, but with the Chargers, but still, again, I don't think I'm starting anybody for the Cowboys right now. And if I do, I'm probably going to lean towards CeeDee Lamb if I've got the opportunity. That's my perspective on that one.
Yeah, I agree. I think you got a good idea with those. So shifting over real quick to tight ends. As you know, I'm also in the market for tight ends, and tight ends are hard to come up with. I'll jump out and say right away, I do think I'm going to go with Gerald Everett. I think he's the one I'm going to try to pick up, because I think he's the most consistent, and he's part of an offense that I think I trust the most.
I think that makes a lot of sense. I mean, you're talking about having Justin Herbert throw to you, and if you're on the field enough of the time, you're going to get your opportunities.
Yeah. The only thing is, he didn't lose any time based upon that interception. That was definitely his fault I guess it's not entirely his fault. The coaching staff should have let him come off the field, because he was obviously gassed after the previous play. But he definitely didn't commit to his route, and that was the reason for that pick six. So as long as he doesn't get himself in the doghouse, he's been consistently getting 10 points each week. I think I'll probably go with him. Gesicki, I think it's kind of I wouldn't bank on him having a lot of targets every week because of Waddle and Hill in there. Looking at his 2 weeks total, he has a total of 5 targets. So even though he was a high scorer last week, it was not – it's because of a touchdown. What about Irv Smith from your Minnesota junior guy?
If you watched last night – I think that the game was lost when Irv dropped that easy walk-in touchdown dime that Kirk put right in his hands. That was, I think, honestly, it was the tide, right, of the game. Vikings would have gone in to halftime 21-14 and gotten the ball after the second, you know, after the half. And if they would have done what they did on defense in the second half, they likely would have won that game. So I feel like that was the turning point. Irv Smith is injury prone. I mean, he's been with the Vikings now for 3 or 4 years, and he's, dealt with injuries every single year. He missed all of last season due to injury. He came back. He missed all of preseason due to a thumb injury or something like that. He had to have surgery on his, like, on one of his hands. And so he's really just getting, you know, to that place where he's getting, you know, integrated into the offense. I think he maybe had one target in week one. He had a bunch of targets yesterday, but he really hardly caught any. So Irv Smith's one of those guys who, if you know, he's getting good separation, but he's not you know, hanging onto the ball. And if you're gonna be a you know, receiving tight end or wide receiver in this league, you have to hold onto the ball. So I don't. Yeah, I think that's the thing. I don't know. You know, I think he's got the most potential upside out of who's available on the board. Mm-hmm. But he very easily could bust, right?
Yeah.
Is kind of the problem, right? I mean, he had a great, he still ended up actually having a good game last, you know, yesterday. I think he will get red zone targets. And so, but remember, he's competing with Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen for and Dalvin Cook for those targets, right? So yeah. I think that you will see similar play to what we got last night. Now, if he's successful and he cleans up his hands, like, you think about it, he could have scored 25 points last night if he would have caught that 60 some yarder.
Yep.
He had a touchdown pass. If you would have caught that, then you would have been like, are you serious? We didn't pick up this guy. No one picked up this guy. So yeah, I think it's looking for consistency.
Yeah, speaking of looking for consistency, while you were talking, I was going through and just looking at some of the tight ends that are still available. And there's three, actually, who are getting 10-plus targets a week right now. That, to me, that says they're a heavy piece to the offense. Tyler Higbee with the Rams. He had, respectively, 6 targets for...
I can't believe he's 11, available, honestly.
Yeah, he had 11 targets week one with Buffalo and 9 targets against Atlanta. No touchdowns yet, but I mean, as you know, Cooper Kupp and Allen Robinson are probably taking up a lot of those opportunities. Pretty much any time they're down there, it's Cooper Kupp is who they're going for. But he's getting a lot of targets and a lot of yards, so he's going to be like your consistent 10-pointer tight end. Pat Freiermuth with the Steelers. I don't know. Do you listen to the Fantasy Footballers, by the way?
No, I mean, not on a regular basis. Oh, okay. I have listened to them, I believe, in the past.
They have a funny thing when they talk about Freiermuth. They say the Muth it Luth, because they messed up how they said it once. But anyways, but he had 10 targets week one and 7 targets week two, again, at 10 points each week. So both those two, so really consistent. And then again, Gerald Everett. And ironically, Everett week one only had 4 targets, but he had a touchdown, and then next week he had 10 targets. So, you know, maybe Everett has a lower base than Pat and Higbee, but might also have a higher upside. I feel like Pat might have a higher upside due to the potential for touchdowns there.
Well, I think the thing that, you know, this is where I look at tight ends. You have two different kinds of, like, tight ends, right, who score points for you in fantasy. Tight end one is the Travis Kelce. He's a superstar, right? Like, that's how Gronk was. Like, they're their own superstars, and they make and break games, right? Yeah. They can completely change the dynamic of the game just by being who they are, catching in critical, you know, situations, getting good separation, taking advantage of mismatches. That's tight end one, right? And that's who everyone's looking for. But there's legitimately, at any given time in the league, you look through kind of just like historically in that position, there's one or two of those guys active a year, period, right? Yep. Over entire generations. And then the other end of value, I would say, from a tight end perspective, is they're the safety blanket for a lot of the time bad quarterback play, right?
Yep, or rookies.
Because it's like, that's like, okay, well, he's sitting in the pocket, you know, he's sitting in the easy middle zone for 4 or 5 yards in the flat, right? Or, you know, they pick up garbage time points because they're leaving the middle of the field wide open, and the tight end's the one that has the middle of the field route, right?
Yeah.
So I think I look at it from that perspective. So then who's Pittsburgh's quarterback right now?
It's a rookie Pickens, I believe. Or no, excuse me.
They're actually starting Mitchell Trubisky.
Yeah, it's Trubisky, who I think is a bad quarterback.
So Trubisky's not a good quarterback. No, exactly. We know that. And so I think that he's got good potential, right? Because Trubisky will scramble. He'll make a hasty decision. He'll dump. And I think that's where... and I don't even know who are the wideouts these days, because they don't have Donald. Who?
Or Dante? Oh, what is his name? There's a decent wide receiver out there. But
I know that overall they've gotten rid of, I think, a lot of the pieces because they're doing a rebuild. So obviously Juju Smith-Schuster came over to
Deontay Johnson. That's who it is. Sorry.
Came over to the Chiefs. So anyway, I think the point is like, I think that he's going to get some heavy targets just because of Trubisky and how Trubisky plays. So I think he's pretty interesting from that perspective. I think Higbee's a good option for touches, knowing that we're half point PPR. I think he's going to be a good potential pick. In fact, one that I'm looking at and I'm like, well, who would I drop off my team? Because Pitts has not done anything so far. People are like super high on him, and Atlanta has not put together a game plan that at all features him.
Yeah.
And so I think even for me, it's like, that's the one position that if I'm like, okay, I'm weak, it's been tight end. And, that's it not like, it's like you said, it's like, I don't necessarily need the help, but having solidified that position, you're going to have weeks where, like, for me this week, Justin Jefferson, he put up like 10 points or something or whatnot. He didn't go off, right? Yeah. Diggs more than made up for both of them, so it didn't really matter. But I think tight end is one where there's a lot of opportunity. They should be good red zone targets, right?
Yeah.
Too, so.
Yeah, no, I think that's good. I think any of those three would be good ones. My top one is probably Pat Freiermuth, followed by Gerald Everett, and then maybe Tyler Higbee. I think all of those are definitely good. Awesome. Well, I'm not going to go over defenses and kickers because, honestly, those are pretty subjective. They're hard to predict and everything like that. So what we'll do is we will go over our power rankings, my weekly power rankings for everybody. And what has happened the last few weeks is everybody I put in last place wins that week. First we had the Reed's Naughty Boys, and he just smoked me. And then I put Chilling with Mahomes and trying to jinx him. Well, they won. So we're going to go ahead and start week three off with me, Read 'em and Weep, in last place in eighth. In hopes that I can jinx a win over Hertz Donut, because I'm going to need it.
you're going to need it. There's no doubt about that.
Any level of jinxing I can do, I will do. Number eight is myself, Read 'em and Weep. Number seven, Team Fitzgerald. Team Fitzgerald, I'm calling you out again, man. You left another zero on your bench. I did that as well, so I can't give you too much grief. But, I had you... What's crazy is I had you as the number two team the week one, and oh, how the mighty have fallen. You're now down to number seven. Number six, with that win against me, I moved Chilling with Mahomes up a little bit. It was a very good victory that he pulled off, but I didn't think it was over the top amazing that I felt like he needed to go up higher yet. So we're going to leave him at number six right now. Number five, we are moving Phoenix Vladdy Daddy there. So he moved up one spot with his win. Actually, did he win or did he lose? I can't remember, but I moved him up.
He won. He pulled off a win.
Okay.
It wasn't an impressive win, but he pulled off. He's the one that beat Fitz. And the thing to me about like Team Fitzgerald, like roster decisions, a couple of different decisions, and he would have easily taken that win. So
yeah,
if he pays attention to his roster and adjusts it, I think that he has the opportunity to actually be a challenge. If he's paying it, obviously you never know what's going to happen with fantasy, but yes, he could very easily move off that seventh spot and start tackling some wins.
For sure. Team Mess, I left them at number four because, when you lose to the buzzsaw, I can't fault you too much for your team. I mean, he did do the best of all the lobies, and of the losing people. So we'll leave it at number four. Number three, Reed's Naughty Boys. I dropped him one ranking. So, Doug, I know you're going to be mad at me again, but I dropped you one. Honestly, just because of the sheer success of Hertz Donut and Gritty Gritty Bang Bang. So number two is Hertz Donut, and number one, of course, is Gritty Gritty Bang Bang. 2 weeks running, you are the top guy, and I don't really foresee you coming off the top unless you hit a losing streak for a little while, which probably won't happen unless you have some injuries. So
I'm obviously, hopefully, don't get any of the injury bug. I think one thing that was super interesting was just, you know, I like to look at the standings. And if you look at the standings, my points for this is just to say, like, hey, I'm like by far and away just on a different level right now from a points for. Like, my team's really yes. just performing. I'm at 344. Hertz Donut, which is the next one down, is at 278.
Oh, my goodness.
So there's a 60 point plus difference between. My points for, and the next highest person's points for,
and that's and the total amount that I scored this last week.
Is only 13 points behind Hertz, right? So they're really close, but I've got a 60 point variance. And then, from a competition perspective, I've only had 190 points scored against me.
Wow.
Technically speaking, Team Mess has had the hardest strength of schedule so far because they've had 270 points scored against them. Of course, I just put up 180 of those, so
yeah. No big deal. Jeez. Yeah, like I was saying, the amount that you're ahead of the next person is the total amount of points that I scored this last week. So I mean, yeah, I'm not catching that anytime soon. I just gotta find a way to find some gems each week. That's one thing that is, it's kind of fun to be in this position where I am, because I can't just coast. I have to literally take the time every single week to strategically know who I'm picking up, who I'm playing, and really work hard to try to get the best players out there. You know, obviously I probably won't be able to succeed to your level if you know, that's just not really going to happen. But if I can weasel out a few wins here and just kind of slowly climb my way back in, you know, that's what makes this kind of game and this stuff fun. So, yeah,
that's good.
I appreciate it.
No, it's fun. It's been fun. I will tell you, I'm like, I'm trying not to. I mean, my team's good. It ended up coming around to being a lot better than I thought it would perform. I think I got some really good value picks that have turned out to be like number one for their position rank so far this year. So they just came out of the gates hot. And I'd say I got a good value for most of my team since I get picked kind of mid round. I think the other thing I would say is, you know, I'm not getting too excited. We're only in week two, and I mean, I had a season one time several years ago, one of my first years playing fantasy. I went 7-0 and I missed the playoffs.
Oh,
so can't get too excited.
Yeah, that's right. It's too early to get excited, but. Elijah, I appreciate you coming on the show with me this week. It was a lot of fun. Hopefully, maybe next week we'll have you and Jake on, or maybe you just again. I don't know. But I really, really appreciate you coming out, so I wasn't out here all alone.
All right, man. Hey, I appreciate it, Mike. It was fun. Love talking football. Love talking fantasy. Yeah. Be happy to come back.
Awesome. Take care.